Blog Talk Radio.
Paperback Writer.
This is the Writer's Lounge, where we showcase new authors, and this is show number 101, and it is November 8th, 2021. I'm your host, Tom Riddell. Brief intro to today's show. Today, we have author Barbara Kamik on. She's going to talk to us about a wonderful story about a cat called Misty Finds a Home, and she's also going to talk to us about some of her inspirational writings called Heart on Fire for God. So she'll be up at about 15 minutes after the hour, so stay tuned for that. And you can also call in. I'll give you the number for that shortly. And now, more about us. Here's where you can find us out there. Find us on Facebook, The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. Find the book reviews of all of our current shows over at thomasriddell.net. That's thomasriddell.net. In the blog section and on the on-demand radio shows can be found there on the podcast page as well. Or go over to the Blog Talk Radio site and search for The Writer's Lounge. Find me on Twitter at TomRiddell56. And our email is writerslounge2020@yahoo.com. If you want to be a guest on a show and have your book reviewed, put guest request in the subject line, and we will get back to you. A special note, we can also now be heard on your Alexa device. Subscribe to TuneIn and ask her to play The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. I'd also like to put in a plug for Goodreads and Readsy Discovery. They both do a great deal to help authors and readers alike, and I also review books on both sites as well. Upcoming authors on the Writer's Lounge. Next week, we have on author R.J. Johnson, who creates compelling characters and action scenes that grip me and kept my eyes to the page with his Dream Slinger novel, the first in a series about a mysterious stone and a possibility that aliens are visiting Earth. On Monday, November 29th, 2021, that's 2 weeks from next week, we'll have on Nancy Kilgore. We'll be here with her novel, Bitter Magic, which is very interesting, which is inspired by the true story of confessed witch Isabel Gowdy. It's a step back into 17th century Scotland. Hope you'll tune in to those exciting upcoming shows. We are now booked up into the new year. So if you want to be on the show, as I said earlier, go and send us an email at writerslounge2020@yahoo.com and put guest request in, and we'll try to get you in. We do have openings in January, but they will go quick. I can guarantee you that. And so that wraps up the show intro. And now let's get on to writers' topics. And during this segment of our show, we normally talk about writers' topics. Usually it's about the tools we use as writers, helping to become better at our craft. But topics can also be about the subject matter of what we as writers write about. And on today's show with Barbara, we're going to be talking about the pets in our lives, something that the Writer's Lounge, if memory serves, has not talked enough about. The main subject of Barbara's writing focuses on a beloved cat named Misty and how he changed Barbara and her husband Bob's life. I can't tell you how much my pets have meant to me in my life. And frankly, I never thought I could love an animal as much as I love my 11-year-old cat, Pixie. I truly believe that she is a gift from God. I know that many of you out there would say the same thing, but the question that begs to be answered is, will we see our pets when we get to heaven? Randy Elkhorn, a senior pastor at Crossroads Christian Church in Grand Prairie, Texas, was asked this question a few years ago, and I'm about to play a four-minute clip of his answer, and then we'll be back to talk with Barbara when we'll learn more about her dear cat, Misty. Be back in about 4 minutes.
Okay, so let's talk about animals in heaven for a moment. We know there's horses because the Bible says in Revelation 19, the Lord comes back on riding a white horse, and the armies of heaven with him on white horses. I don't really care about the horses because I'm not a horse guy, but I know a lot of people in our church are. What I do care about is dogs.
Amen.
Y'all know where I'm going. And I've asked every speaker that we've ever had here this question. You know, dogs, like my dog right now, his name's Buddy. He can express every emotion I can express. Anger, love, hurt, rejection,
he can poop on the floor.
The what?
He can poop on the floor.
Well, he doesn't do that very much.
Well, good.
Yeah, he's well trained. But I mean, I'm not saying that he has a redeemed soul, that Jesus had to die and forgive him for his sins, even though when he does on the floor, that way, that's not good. But my point is, how could he not have the privilege to be in heaven? How could this life just, that's it. He's, you know, I mean, so much joy that our pets bring to us. Yeah. Tell us, I mean, don't go beyond scripture, but what do you believe about animals in heaven and the possibility that some of these pets that we grew up with as little kids or pets that we lost recently will get to be reunited in heaven?
Look at Genesis 1 and 2, and the highlight of all creation built up to is people. But right before people came animals, those living beings, the first living beings that God made, animals. And it's magnificent and wondrous that the first responsibility God gave to human beings, along with to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, was to manage and care for animals. Adam named the animals. And so with the flood, God makes a covenant, not only with people, but with animals. And this is stated again and again in Genesis 6 through 9 in the flood account. What we find in Isaiah 65 is the wolf and the lamb, and he specifically calls this the new earth. So this is not just the millennium. This is the new earth. In verse 25 of Isaiah 65, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. And then in Isaiah 11, it's got leopard, goat, calf, cow, bear, ox, lion, cobra. when God remakes the earth, why would he not remake it with animals? Well, we know he will for sure because of these passages that have animals on the new earth, but also because Romans 8 says the entire creation has, the entire creation has fallen. And we fell, the creation fell on the coattails of human beings. So animals suffer death because humans sinned and humans suffer death. But it says in that passage that not just human beings, but the entire creation, well then who does that leave that has suffered on this earth? Animals will experience the resurrection of the sons of God. So since some animals who suffered and are alive in this lifetime on this fallen earth will survive, which animals or will be raised, which animals will there be? Will those be? I think the most logical answer to that would be, and wouldn't it be just like a loving God to do this for his children, that he will bring back those precious pets that he has entrusted to our care. We have a golden retriever named Maggie. We had a Dalmatian named Moses. We had a Springer Spaniel before that named Champ. And those dogs are very real to me. And I anticipate actual reunion with them in heaven. And by the way, I didn't used to believe that until I spent those 2 or 3 years studying scripture intently every day on that subject. And the Bible changed my mind on that subject.
That's awesome. And I love your answer.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. That's a question that many of us have, and I've heard it before from people wondering about our pets. We sure do love them. And okay, now let's get on to the main event. Our guest author, of course, is Barbara Kamick, and she wrote Misty Finds a Home, and she also is the author of Heart on Fire for God. If you'd like to call in, if you're listening live, you can do that at area code 914-219-0868. Don't be shy. We won't bite. And we'd love to hear from you if you'd like to do that. And of course, if you're not listening live, you can't call in, but you can listen to it on demand. So go ahead and search it on demand if you're looking for it there after our show is live, and find it and listen to the show. Here is the introduction of Barbara's book in my review, Misty Finds a Home. And this is what Barbara had put in her book. Misty wandered into our yard one day and right into our hearts. How does a person who doesn't like cats, doesn't want a cat in her house, fall in love so deeply? He changed our lives and we changed his. Join Misty on his journey from a stray cat with no place to live, no food to eat, and fearful of the world around him, to a home that taught him about love and compassion, and most importantly, about God. Here in Misty's own words, his story about his life from uncertainty to his life of love and safety with his new family and on to his forever home with God. God indeed can, this is what I wrote, God indeed can work in mysterious ways. And as the author explains in this beautiful, heartwarming story, she merely wrote down the words told to her by her wonderful soul, who was known to her as Misty. The words within this short story moved me with passion, and the love I felt for Misty and the deep desire I had for his well-being was powerful. The story should be read by anyone who knows the true love that a pet can bring and the true love that God gives us each and every day. Heart on Fire for God, Heart on Fire for God consists of several volumes of inspirational writings that the author has written from her daily communication with God. The inspirations flow from single words such as trust, faith, patience, wise, forgive, fear, and many others, which often generate deep emotions and prompt us to look for answers as we struggle to find meaning in our lives. The author dives deep into biblical teachings, but she is also able to formulate an easy-to-understand response to many of these emotional and interesting words that we encounter each and every day of our lives. God has truly blessed her with an ability to communicate and to administer to the spiritual needs of the people who she comes into contact with. whether it be the story of a beloved cat or through the inspirations that even just a single word can bring. And my paper got stuck. Hold on just a second. And so, okay, there it goes. So before we introduce Barbara, I should mention that she is more than just an author to the show. She is also my friend and also the mother of Kay Kamek, who is my girlfriend. So she is also very much like family to me. And for the 3+ years that I have known her, she inspires me in ways which go far beyond the depth of our discussion today. Simply, she is just a joy to know. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Barbara to the Writer's Lounge broadcast. If we push this magic button, it'll open up the doors to the Writer's Lounge, and we should have Barbara right about now. Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I am, Tom. And thank you for a wonderful introduction. You are a joy to us as well.
Well, thank you so much. And I know that you are a very prayerful person. And in the last couple of days, I've been dealing with this horrible migraine that just didn't want to go away. And you have helped with the migraine. So I want to thank you for that before we get on to the rest of the show. But please tell us about who you are, for those of us that don't know you, where you're from, and how long have you been writing?
I've been writing about 4 years, Heart on Fire. And and during that 4 years, it's probably been 3 years or more that I wrote Misty Finds a Home after he passed. Live in the Fulton, Syracuse area for most of my life, which I am in my late 70s at this point, and enjoying every day of my life after a diagnosis of multiple myeloma, which through Jesus Christ and his healing power, I am doing very well, and I praise his name for that. So I had two my husband and I have been married 60 years. We had two children, adults that have had their children, and we have great-grandchildren. Our oldest is 16, and our baby is going to be a year old the end of this month of the great-grandchildren. So we've been very blessed, and God has watched over us many times, even through some of the struggles that we have gone through. But
very good.
In
your,
the
in
way
your
it
rural,
is.
In your rural upbringing in the Fulton area, mm-hmm. and you have told me stories about that, have you... when you were a girl, little girl, did you do any writing back then, or did you concentrate on other things?
I didn't, except that I have always been drawn. I lived on a dead-end dirt road when I was little, and there was a church across the road, and I was drawn to hearing the music, the piano on Sundays, and I would go there for Sunday school. I've done a lot of reading in my life, reading, and I almost always have a book somewhere nearby me.
Uh-huh.
And I became very fascinated with thinking about all of these questions that we hear in this worldly life that we live. And people have said to me often, you should write a book because you're a good storyteller. Well, I never saw myself that way. And I just one day, for whatever reason that humanly I did not know, I started to write down this plan, this like a template, which became Heart on Fire.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first experience really with writing, other than, you know, your compositions and things you're supposed to do in high school and all of that.
Right. And you said that Misty's story is told in his own words. Can you explain that process and how it works, and how do you get his words down on the page, and what happens to you during those moments that you're writing?
Again, it's a knowing. The Bible talks about a knowing, when you know that you know. And Misty's name is because he came in the mist, and then he would disappear in the mist. Thought he was a she because he was a stray, and that name came to me. Of course, when I got to know him, I found out he wasn't a she. Said, well, why would you call him such a girly name? Well, that was his name. He came in the mist, and he left in the mist, really. He came as he came. He left as quickly. But he was the first animal. We've had other animals, but he was the first animal that touched me as deeply as he did. And he followed me everywhere and was always with me. And when he passed, it was a great, great human loss, one that I had not yet experienced, even though we had lost some of our dogs in the past and a cat. But Misty, for some reason, touched me in a different way. And I always felt he was spiritual, that God had brought him to us, to me, on purpose. And that's how he got there. He appeared to have a lot of already domesticated habits, where he knew what a litter box was and how to live in a house, and yet he was out there in the wild. We think he was dropped off. And so he wanted to be inside. He did not want to be. And part of the book is him talking about that. So he used to talk to me, I felt, while he was with me. I just felt I knew what he was saying or thinking. So it wasn't hard when it came to this thought one day, one morning, I needed to write down what he was thinking. And how he had come to find this new home, because he was looking for a home when he came to us. He found what we thought was his home, and then he was looking, and the book is called Misty Finds a Home, but it's all about him finding eventually his forever home with God.
Right, which is our real home, or our original home.
That is our home. That is our home. We're just passing through here. And so we are waiting till when we all can go home. And Misty has just gone ahead of me sooner than I would have liked him to go. And so I sat down with a blank paper and a pen, and the words came to me. They come in a way just like Heart on Fire, just as thoughts. And much of the time, as it did with Misty, I wrote it down just as it came to me in the order it was intended to be. And when I go back and read the book, I'm reading it for the first time.
Right.
Because when I write that way, it's almost not, in other words, I don't have clear memory of it until I go back and read it, because it's coming to me from a source which, in my opinion and my knowledge, that I believe is through God himself. But this book is Misty. Misty is speaking.
Right. And so
God speaking through Misty.
Right. Excuse me. From knowing you and being to your home several times where Misty lived, excuse me, had a frog in my throat. I know that Misty had friends and possibly family around your property. And can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah. You know, I think they have a telegraph or something, and a stray cat comes along. There had been two others before Misty, but they did not want to come inside. They were feral. And when you tried to get near them, the only thing you could do is feed them. Well, Misty was out there with them when he did come along, and he fed with them, ate with them, seemed to be able to get along with them. But he was the one that would meow and want to come inside. As he was inside, there were more cats that came. It was like they had a telegraph or some sort of a notice that they put out that, oh, here, the Kamiks have food, come here. And, of course, we made them beds. We had a shed, a wood shed, and we put in a heat lamp, and we put in heated water bowls, and so that they weren't too cold in the winter and their water didn't freeze. And so why wouldn't they come? they ended up being at one point in time 10 of them out there, because of course they multiply. But we got to witness the babies and such growth, and just it was just another one of those blessings, even though they were out rather than in, and they had freedom. They could go anywhere they wanted, whenever they wanted, and they were happy.
And the love that he brought to your house was unique in the aspect that you were not a cat person.
No, we had
it
a cat.
It makes it a lot more special.
We had a cat in our early marriage that was really not that friendly a cat, and we got her from a very little baby. She was 6 weeks old. So we knew that it must have been her inherent attitude that she had. She really had a standoffish cat attitude, and all scratching things and all of that. And I just didn't want a cat in my house. Dogs, okay, but not cats. My husband is a cat lover, always has been. I, on the other hand, had never been around cats growing up, except this one cat that was not the friendliest cat, but we had her for 17 years. We took good care of her, but she was just standoffish and was not, she didn't socialize with us very much. So I couldn't see the point of having a cat. Misty was totally the opposite. He napped on my lap, on Bob's lap, my husband. He just was with me everywhere, including the bathroom, snuggled in bed, slept. The very first night we brought him in from outside, he got on the bed, and he stayed there all night long. Cats don't usually do that. They usually wander at night. He didn't wander at night. But
right.
We did find out when we took him to the vet that he did have two illnesses, blood diseases that were death to cats. It was only cats. It was feline. And so we did not know, the vet did not know how long he had to live. So he probably didn't have the energy that other well animals have, animals, cats. But he was just very, very precious for the time that we had him, 2.5 years.
Wonderful story. And like you were saying, you go back and read it, and it doesn't seem like it's your words. It seems like it's coming from another place. And when that happens, it's very powerful. And when I read it, I was moved. What does the Bible teach us about our pets or animals in general? I know at the start of the show, we played a clip, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I thought it was fabulous. And my granddaughter had a dog that passed, and she wanted me, this was a few years ago, and she wanted me to do a funeral for the dog at the burial site. And I called my pastor at the time, and I asked him what I should do, what scripture, and he gave me that scripture in Isaiah that the person on the tape was talking about, where the animals that you don't think would be together are together. The lion will lay down on the lamb. One of them that eats straw that doesn't normally eat. It's so fabulous, that scripture, that I read that at the time of that little funeral. And I also did that for a young girl. She was only 7, 8 at the time, and she lost a goat that was a pet of hers. And I read that for her, and it gave her so much comfort. We do believe and feel that our pets, as Misty says in the book, that he has found his forever home, and he describes it in the book, that it's a beautiful place, and he meets the other pets that have gone before him, and they talk. So
do you think,
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Do you think God sends our pets to comfort us?
There's no doubt. I've experienced it too many times in our lives. Misty was specifically for me. We don't always know why. A dog called Bibi was for my husband. She was a gift to him. She was a very spiritual animal, very, very spiritual. And I knew it immediately when I met her. And she was meant to bring him out. He was a very closed off person. My heart's on my sleeve all the time. People pretty much know where I am and how I feel, or at least I think that's the way I come across. My husband's very reserved. Was very reserved even with his children, very reserved with most people. And this dog brought all of that out in him. So she was like having a 24-hour counselor in the house, helping bring him out. And when it was time for her to pass, the story is probably too long for this show, but she let me know. She let me know through her actions. When we brought her in the house, she belonged to someone else. Dogs will and cats will lay down on their back and show their belly when they are submitting themselves to you. And she did that the first morning after she had been brought into our house. And I said to her, oh, okay, we're on the same page here. You know that I'm the mistress and you're the pet, and we're going to get along fine, and you want to be here. We had her for 11 years, and I said to her when she was diagnosed with kidney failure that when she was ready to go, she was to let me know, and I would understand. And after giving her IV for 6 months that I did for every day to help keep her diet, it's like dialysis for her, clearing out the toxins, she was really getting to the end, and I had promised her she would never go to the vet. The vet would come to her, and she came out in the kitchen, which she could hardly walk at that time, laid down on her back and showed her belly to me. And I said to her, and which she never did in those 11 years, and this was her way of communicating with me, and I said, okay, I understand you. We'll go in and we'll see your daddy, and I will call the vet. And so I feel a very strong connection to the animals. They may not be able to speak our language, but they understand our language better than we understand theirs most of the time.
Yeah,
and they are very
you.
Spiritually connected to us, very.
I agree with
yes.
you. As I have mentioned and know for a fact that you're a very prayerful person,
mm-hmm.
does prayer work?
Mm-hmm.
What has been
you
your
know,
experience
I had a pastor
prayer?
Tell me that I should have written them down because you could keep a journal, and I would have another book that was very long if had I done that, and I don't know why I didn't, and I don't know why I don't. For some reason, I can't seem to, I write inspiration every week, but I can't seem to write down what he wanted us to do is those of us that prayed, write down the prayer, you know, just a outline of it. And then so that if you found out what had happened with that prayer, you'd write that down if it was answered and how it was answered.
Uh-huh.
I've had so many experiences over these last about 10, 12 years that I've gained a reputation, but it's only through Jesus. This does not happen. Prayer does not work because we're good. Prayer only works because he's good. And our thankfulness and our gratitude to him opens up doors. And the love that he has for all humans and the animals. That, remember, there were animals depicted in the manger. He was born with the animals. He wasn't born in an inn with the humans. He was born with the animals.
Right.
So his connection to the animals is very, very strong. And his connection to us, if we open up to him through the Holy Spirit, we have so much information and knowledge, and the Bible tells us power. We have power. We have to be careful that we don't think for 1 minute that we are gods. Only one God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And through them coming into us, we have an ability that we do. There is not much that I don't pray about. I ask, should I go shopping today? What do I make for dinner tonight? They are silent in my own head, but I let him lead me in whatever direction I'm supposed to go. And that's the way I live my life, with a conversation going on in my head, unless I lose my temper.
Uh-huh.
If I lose my temper over some issue, then I, yes. And if I become very frightened, yes, I can lose my focus. But
right.
I've learned that I can get it back very quickly by reminding myself, because I don't like the depths of despair and discouragement and sadness and worry and fear. I don't like that. That's like being in a pit of hell. And so I'd rather be up in the light with Jesus.
Yes. In your series, I'm going to put you on the spot now, Barbara, Heart on Fire for God. Could you give us a sample inspirational word? Do you have it there with you?
Well, yes, I have. I let God also do that. There were 7 of these, with 12 each of them printed by a friend of mine. And then after that, they're pretty much on my emails. I do know of a friend of mine that is making copies of each one of them every week and putting them in a loose leaf binder.
Uh-huh.
I've kind of become very lax at it. But this one that I picked out has 12 words in it, as each one of them does, and that would be volume 2. These 12, is it hard if I say what these 12 were? These were the,
sure.
These were the second set of 12. I don't have the first book with me. This is the second set of 12. Temptation, authority, peace, judge, joy, promise, obey, mercy, armor, season, water, light.
Okay.
Now, if I were to pick one out, I would probably pick out judge. We get very mixed up in this world with judgment. In the Bible, we're not supposed to be judgmental. But we're assigned to make judgments every day of our lives. If we can't make good sound, which is through wisdom and discernment from God himself, judgments, then we're going to be in trouble most of the time. Our finances will be in chaos. Our homes will be chaotic. Our workplace. We have to be able to judge and make good judgments, but we're not to be judgmental. So if you
yes.
see a person on the street that's pretty disheveled, you're not to make a judgmental decision about how that person got there. But you could make a judgment of whether you want to let them in your door. The word judge is one that we really need a lot of guidance from God to help us with that word and how to maneuver that word. This week's word is called navigate. I just finished writing it and we'll be emailing it tomorrow. Navigate.
Uh-huh.
God helps us navigate through our lives, through judgment, and that's one of them, and through many other avenues that he uses. But if we stay focused in his direction, we can make better judgments, be less judgmental, and able to give out the love that Jesus has given us and the
uh-huh.
forgiveness that he gives us. We can pass it on. Not perfectly, but we're a work in progress, Tom.
We sure are. At the end of the broadcast, we'll have you give, if you want, you can explain to the listeners out there that might want to receive your inspirational words, you can give us that information if you'd like. And I have a question here. If God doesn't answer your prayer, should we get mad at him? And how can we hold on to our faith if that happens?
The way I feel about that is, in this lifetime, we have a part to play. Our part, and he has his. We have to be very careful that we don't try to take over his. He doesn't take over ours. He gave us free choice. He allows us to, some people don't think that we should have free choice because then we wouldn't get into trouble. But he gave us free choice as a loving gift so that we don't feel as slaves or confined. But he, on the other hand, has his part to play in when we pray, that's our part. It's not our decision in advance to decide whether we're going to be answered or not. Sometimes we're not answered the way we pray it because we have limited vision. He may know that job that we're praying for is not the one that he sees in the future that's going to be good for us.
Sure.
So, or whatever it is. So I don't have a problem with praying. Some people do. And I'll say to the person quite often, please, while I'm praying, don't let the evil one or the world or your mind have doubts. Just listen to the words, believe for those moments, and then let God, we're giving it to him, and let him do his thing, whatever it is. So as soon as the words are out of my mouth, which most times, unless I text them, I don't even know what I have said.
Okay.
They're gone. To me, they're gone. So if you were to call me up and say, you've got a real severe problem, and I say, okay, I will pray with you. As soon as I'm done, it's gone from me. I don't worry about it anymore. I just say it's in his hands, and however it is the way it's going to turn out. Now, when you told me that your migraine was better than you had expected, I say, thank you, Jesus, because now he can be glorified. He can be glorified for that. All I was the messenger that was saying the words to connect you and him, and then he's the healing power.
Right, and it's important to have the faith that he will take care of us. And like I said before,
He will answer however, that he will answer, and he will do whatever it is that the Trinity, see as best for us.
Sure. Getting back to the animals, our pets, we often say that our pets love us unconditionally. Do you think humans are capable of the same kind of love that our pets show us?
I think we're pretty tricky humans because if somebody does something to us that we don't like, that's a condition. We may not love them as much. We are commissioned by Christ to have unconditional love, but we as human beings, I feel, have to work at that. There are many parents who say that they love their children unconditionally, and I think you probably always love them, but you don't have to like them. There are times that you don't like your spouse. You may love that person, your mate, but you may not like them in this moment in time. So we get mixed up as humans between love and like. And we can love someone but not like them all at the same time. So the unconditional condition that's been put on us in our society, I'm not sure how much of that is bad programming by the evil one, making us expect something that we're not quite always capable of doing. And then we feel like a failure, you know.
I think we've been burdened with opinions. We have opinions. We have a, a thought process where animals, I don't know, they do have a thought process, but it's not to the level that we have. And as you mentioned earlier, we are very judgmental. And I think that goes into why humans can't be as loving as animals can be, in my view of it.
But remember that the animal, if you hurt that animal, it can strike at you, whether it's a cat or a dog or whatever it is. So they have emotions in there. And even though they may love you, they don't like what you're doing. You kick them or you hit them or whatever. They'll come at you with bared teeth, growls, and perhaps a bite. So they let you know that there's a condition there that you overstepped the line. So
absolutely,
this unconditional love is sometimes, I think, more of a programming of our minds of something that is not quite as real as God wants us to see, that we're all imperfect, all of us, including the animals.
Yes, very well said. Did you learn anything from Misty during the time that he was dying, and are you afraid of death?
No. Yes, I learned, but no, I am not afraid of death. I know where I'm going. I know where he, I knew where he went. I knew where he was going to go. I just didn't like it that he was leaving me. I wasn't worried about him because I knew where he was going to go. Spiritually, I knew he would live forever. I feel that he's right with me still to this day. And he's been gone now, probably, I don't know, 4 years or so.
He'll greet you on the other side of the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I am not afraid. I have to say that I'm afraid of the trip that I might have to take dying. I always say to God, I'd like you to poof me up. Just pick me right up spiritually from here and leave my body behind.
Right,
I don't know if that's going to be the way it is, but I hope. I learned a lot from my mother-in-law when my husband and I were only in our 40s, and she passed of colon cancer, and we took care of her for 3 months at home. She was so dignified and so at peace that I only hope that I can fill her shoes with my knowledge of Jesus, who she believed in, that I can be at peace through that trip that it takes to get to where he is, our forever home, as Misty has found his forever home with God.
Right.
And I believe everything the Bible says about the house that's built for us and the beautiful, everything is beautiful. You're not cold, hot, hungry, sick. It's just beautiful. And I believe that 100%. So I'm not afraid of death itself.
Right. Humanity is living in some extraordinary difficult times right now. How do you see us moving forward, and can we make it without God?
No. Can't make it without him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the devil is trying to have happen, and that's what we're witnessing all over the world. But if you look back, even in Bible days, there were some rough things going on. Jesus wasn't the only one on the cross. That is what they did to someone. As you remember, there was a cross on each side of him, and they were thieves. So life, even in biblical times, was very threatening, very dangerous, very difficult. And when you look at history, which I wish I hadn't said this at the time when I was in history class, they made it so boring that I didn't like history. And I said, history has no place in my life, my future. But history is what helps us with to be able to discern and make good decisions throughout our lives. And one of them is that we have been in tough spots, we human beings, Noah and the Ark.
Right.
We've been Jonah and the whale was an individual thing, but the ark was not individual. That was humanity. We've survived because God wants us to survive. We will survive as humans. How we will survive and what it will look like is certainly not for any of us humans to be able to say. But I put my trust in him. I'm not as fearful as I used to be over all of the things that are going on, the illnesses. If you look back and you read the scripture, it tells you that there will be pestilence. And God will help with that, that the evil one brings that on. So we have to just constantly focus on God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and we will survive.
I'm glad to hear that. We know you like to write, but who do you like to read? Have any favorite authors?
Yes. I like to read Jeanette Oakes, and I like to read Karen Kingsbury. Karen Kingsbury is scriptural, but it's about real life. So most of the books that I read, like Nora Roberts and some of those throughout the years, some mysteries, you might find me reading. Right now I'm reading Catherine Coulter. It's more of an FBI mystery type thing. I like to kind of like mix it up a little bit.
Sure.
James Patterson sometimes. But
and we also know that you're a Perry Mason fan also.
Oh, I love Perry Mason. Yes. Perry Mason. Yes, it's going to come to an end. I've watched all of the I'm into the ninth year, and of course I watched them when they were in the originals. But very good stories. I find it fascinating to read a book and how God came through to those people, because without him, there is nothing. Everything that exists on this earth is only through him. So every writer is getting their inspiration and their words from the Lord himself. That's their ability, that gift that he gave them. Some of these writers are so prolific, you couldn't imagine that they could continue to write book after book after book.
Right.
Some of these voices that you hear of people who sing, where did it come from? There's only one source. There's only one source. And that source is never ending, always giving to us humans for our pleasure and our enjoyment. So all of the different varieties of people and writers is because he has a garden of all of us that are all different. His flowers, that's who we are. Beautiful, all beautiful.
Right. How does your husband Bob like what you've written? Any feedback from him on anything?
Yes. Well, Misty, I read to him once and he can't stand it because it makes him cry. He was very close to Misty as well. And so he doesn't like me to talk about Misty because he says, I just can't talk about it, is the way he reacts to that book. But that's only because of the loss. Heart on Fire for God, he likes to hear each inspiration each week. And he also reads to me every night the inspirational books that have been written by others, like The Upper Room, Days of Praise, and Our Daily Bread. There are many people that are writing about God and their stories, and so he reads those every night to the two of us, as well as he likes the ones that I write.
Very good. Well, Barbara, we're getting close to the end of the show here. I'd like to know what's next for Barbara Kamick. Any longer stories in the making, maybe a continuation of Misty's story? Any thoughts on that?
Every once in a while it pops up into my head that I should be writing more about these prayers and that have been answered, and more of a commentary of mine.
Right.
The Heart on Fire for God is strictly, yes, I'm talking. It says on the front, inspired by God, which of course everything is for me, but it isn't like me telling a story. It's based around the scripture. It has a format that I follow that God gave me, and I stick to that, and it's short.
Uh-huh.
For a weekly inspiration. But a book, he's just been starting in the last week or two telling me to get out a paper and a pen, and because that's the way I do it, the old-fashioned way, and starting to write more of my experiences, personal, and speak. In other words, I would be the speaking. Right now in Heart on Fire for God, he's speaking. Misty's speaking in that book, and it's like he's saying, okay, it's time for you to be you speaking. You tell the story. So I don't know if I'm going to be doing that or not.
Well,
we'll see
what God has in plan for you. If our listeners want a copy of Misty Finds a Home or Heart on Fire for God, what can they do to get them?
I have a website, or I mean an email, excuse me for misspeaking. It's called Kamic, capital C-A-M-I-C, capital B-A-R-B-A-R-A, @gmail.com.
Great, and then they can get both of them at that email, right?
Right, right.
Very good.
They can contact me, and then I can speak with them.
Barbara, it's been great, and I will talk to you very soon, unlike other authors I've had on the show when I don't talk to them ever again. But I know I will talk
right.
to you soon.
And
you did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and it was a pleasure having you on. It's always a pleasure being with you and having you in
thank
my
you.
Life. And I love you dearly. And enjoy
thank
the rest
you.
Of
you too.
Enjoy
I love
the
you
rest
too.
Of your night.
And thank you. And it's just wonderful to be able to talk about the Lord. Thank
Very
you so
good.
Much.
Good night, Bye-bye. Barbara.
Bye.
Okay, there goes Barbara Kamic, who wrote Misty Finds a Home, and she also writes Heart on Fire for God. So go ahead and take her advice. Get a hold of her at her email address there. And final thoughts, an intro to her next show, Monday, November 15th, which is next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to have on R.J. Johnson. He'll be with us with his novel, Dreamslinger. And if you like UFO mysteries and aliens, you're going to love the book, and we'll have a chance to talk to RJ, who is an award-winning author also. So until then, see you next time on the Writer's Lounge, where we encourage writers and readers to keep the pen and eyes to the page and to let the story begin. Enjoy yourselves and be well. Good night.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. Of the plot, it's just to tell you that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make